I would have to say that of all the holidays we celebrate, the most underappreciated holiday I believe that we celebrate is that of Thanksgiving. If you begin to look at just by the way that the retail stores put a priority on the different kinds of holidays, in the middle of August, I would say, to the beginning of September, I would say the middle of August, you walk into a retail store and you're bombarded with Halloween decorations. And then as soon as you're done with Halloween, even before, we are beginning to be bombarded with Christmas. Now, I love Christmas. I'm a big Christmas guy. I like Christmas. But you know what? I don't know if I can do this whole Christmas in July thing. You know, I love it. But I do not love it when they take my Hallmark movies and mysteries where I get to watch my Murder, She Wrote and Columbo, and they fill it with Christmas movies, and we're not even at Thanksgiving yet.
Amen.
But we are so filled with those holidays, and we miss the one in between. Now let me ask you this question. Can you name for me 5 wonderful blockbuster Thanksgiving movies? Well-known Thanksgiving movies. Okay, that's one of them. Charlie Brown, Thanksgiving.
Airplane.
Airplanes. Oh, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I do remember. Yeah. Okay, but if you know, there's not a lot of Thanksgiving movies. There's a lot of Christmas movies. Okay, yeah, we're not. Oh, yeah, thank you, but we're not talking about Christmas today. But what I'm saying is that you can begin to rattle them off awful quickly. We know those, but we don't take the time to celebrate and to think about Thanksgiving. Now, I had a whole nother message prepared. And I went over to have my weekly message with Glee, and Glee says, I think we ought to do something different. It's like, really? I had all this prepared, all this work done. Really? What? It wasn't your fault. But no, it was the Holy Spirit telling us that we needed to change it. And so I came to this passage of Scripture that I wrote an article on for our website, and I'm going to share with you the message this morning. On the question is, why should I give thanks? I want to share with you a story, and we're going to come back to the story at the end of my message, but it's one of the Thanksgivings that I will never forget. My grandma and grandpa, I love them to death, and my grandpa went through a lot of hardship in his time. My grandpa was ran over by a tractor, busted 10 of his ribs, busted his collarbone, busted his pelvis in 3 places. And then he ended up having, years later, he had a heart attack with 3 open heart surgeries, where finally, because of the final surgery, it was so infected with infection that they had to remove the sternum completely. And I remember that Thanksgiving when we brought him home from the hospital that time, and he was pretty much that he went from the bed to the chair to the table, and he couldn't really do much. And I will never forget this in all my years. I remember as we were sitting around the table, the tradition was that we would all give something that we're thankful for. Now, my grandpa, if you knew my grandpa at all, you would know that my grandpa would be the first one to tell you what he was thankful for. He was the one that started it. But this particular Thanksgiving, he said nothing. In fact, he was the last person that spoke. And when he spoke, he began to cry. I've never seen my grandpa cry before. My grandpa began to cry, and he simply says, "I have nothing to be thankful for this year." And he was silent. Did my grandpa truly have nothing to be thankful for that year? Yes. He did have some things to be thankful for, but here's the problem. And it is a common thing that if we will be honest with ourselves, that it's something that we all do. And that is we allow the weight of the circumstances of life to outweigh the things that we are thankful for. How many of us have done that? We look at all the things that we've gone through in a short amount of time, and because of the intensity of the trial, because of the intensity of the situation, we tend to think, I have nothing to be thankful for this year. And that's why I believe that it is so important that as Christians, we have to be, and this is something that I found out about Thanksgiving and worship in general, is that we have to be intentional about our Thanksgiving. What does that mean? That means that we have to be very, very purposeful in what we do. Now what that means is that every year when I do Thanksgiving, I have a prayer journal that I write different things that I've read or studied or that God has spoken to me through my quiet times. And I will sit every year, it's the same thing, I will sit and I will get my Bible, I will get my notebook, and I will get my pen, and I will go through the Bible and I will write every aspect of God that I can think of down. Then I will go through and I will look at only the good things that happened to me this year, and I'll go through and I'll write those down. And what I have done is by the time I'm done, I have a list of about 15 to 20 things that I'm thankful for. And I begin to go through that list. And so no matter what bad things that I've gone through in that time, the list seems to totally outweigh the situations that I'm going through. So what I want to do in this message this morning is I want to help you guys create a list of things you can be thankful for this Thanksgiving. Because as you go and as you ponder this holiday, as I hope that you do, I hope that you're not like my grandpa that was so caught up in the circumstances of life that he simply says, I have nothing to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you 6 things that you can be thankful for this week. And we're going to look at it this year. And we're going to look at this psalm. A great place to glean good things is in the Psalms. And one of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 136. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the 136th Psalm. Psalm 136. And we're going to read this together. We're going to do this a little bit differently than normal. As you know, I love responsive readings, and this is a great one. I'm going to read the first part of the verse, and the second part is very simple. If you'll read it out of the New American Standard, what's in your pew Bible, we'll all read out of the same thing, because that's the version that I have in front of me. If not, I want you to remember this phrase, His loving kindness is everlasting. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the first part and you'll respond with, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Okay? So I'll read the first part of the verse and then you respond with the second part of the verse together. So I'll give everyone a minute here to find it because I know that this is something... it's in the song. It is a song book, but it's in the Bible. So it's in... Do you have a...
We'll read your mind.
Okay. Here, it's in what page? 451. Okay, 451. It's Psalm 136. Psalm 136. So I'll read the first part of the verse, and then when it says, "His loving kindness is everlasting," we'll all read that together. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who made the heavens with skill, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who made the great lights, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to rule by day, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who smote the Egyptians and their firstborn, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And brought Israel out from their midst, for His loving kindness is everlasting. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His loving kindness is everlasting. But He overthrows Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who let His people through the wilderness, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who smote great kings, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And slew mighty kings, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Shihon, king of the Amorites, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And Og, king of Bashan, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And give their lands as an inheritance, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Even a heritage to Israel, His servant, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And has rescued us from our adversaries, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Who gives food to all flesh, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for His loving kindness is everlasting." Amen. Let me give you in this particular passage of Scripture six things that you and I can be thankful for this Thanksgiving time. The first thing that we can give God thanks for lies in the fact that He is good. The opening verse says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." Now, what does that mean, that He is good? Because we read in several different places of the Bible that we are to taste and see that the Lord is good. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we read these words regarding the goodness of God. He says this, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord," or the goodness of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? What do we mean when we say that God is good, or when we say that God is kind? A lot of times people think, when we think of the goodness of God, is we think of God as some kind of a vending machine. That every time I have a problem or every time I have a concern, I can go to God, select the answer that I want to from the vending machine, and I'll get it. How many of you enjoy to go to a hotel And in the middle of the night, you get that kind of the munchies, right? You go to the vending machine and you grab your potato chips, you know, and you select C4 or B8 and you get your potato chips or your whatever they got. Hot Cheetos or whatever, right? And that's how we treat God. And when we think that God is good, right? We think that God just gives us whatever we want to. And so when people see tragedy that happens, when people see a guy that walks into a church and mows down all the people, the first thing that they go to their mind and they say is, how could a good God, right? How could a good God allow this to happen? And I'll tell you why people think that. The reason why people think that is because they have a wrong perception of the goodness of God. The goodness of God does not mean that God is this Santa Claus that sits in heaven with a bowl full of jelly that wants to give us all these good things. When we call him that he is good, what we mean is that he treats us and he gives us mercy and he doesn't treat us the way we deserve to be treated. Did you know that God has every right to wipe us off the face of the planet for every mistake that we've made? Amen. I would not be on this earth very long before God would wipe me off the face of the earth. He has every right to do that. And did you know that because he doesn't do that, that means he's a good God? Because God does not treat us as we deserve, because no one deserves to be saved. No one deserves to go to heaven. We all deserve death. And because God doesn't treat us that way, in that way, he's a good God. And so when we say give thanks to the Lord for he is good, what we are saying is we are thanking God that he does not treat us as we deserve to be treated. I find that to be interesting because we want God to treat us that way, but we don't like to treat other people that way. Right? Have you ever prayed this prayer? God, give them what they deserve. How many of you want God, other people to say, God, give him what that person deserves, which is you? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And that ties into the second thing that we're to give thanks for. We also read in Psalm 103. This is talking about also with this concept of God does not treat us as we deserve. This has to do with the passage that says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he has removed our transgressions from us. But he says in Psalm 103 in verse 10, he says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. How many of you can say this morning that you are so glad that God does not treat us as our sins deserve? Amen. Is that something not to be thankful for this holiday season? So you have one thing to be thankful for. Another thing to be thankful for is that because his loving kindness is everlasting. And he goes on to say in Psalm 136, and this is something that we need to think that it's pretty important. Why? Because it is repeated 26 times in this psalm. For each verse, there is the refrain, "For his loving kindness is everlasting." Now, here's the deal. Why did I have you look it up in a particular translation this morning? Because if you pick up a modern translation of the Bible, you will find it is translated in as many different translations as there are Bibles. You have here, "His loving kindness endures forever." Does someone have a New King James Bible?
Yeah.
What does yours say?
"His mercy endures forever."
Okay. Does someone have another translation, like an NIV? No? Okay. The NIV, what does the NIV say? I can tell you what the NIV says. The NIV, "His love endures forever." In a translation that I was doing some research in, it says, "His faithful love endures forever." There's a lot of different translations. Which one is right? Well, they're all right. Here's the thing. They're trying to grasp to us a concept in the Hebrew called the Hased. Don't ask me to spell that. Don't ask me to pronounce that. But what it means, it's an all-encompassing word. And it has different meanings. Sometimes it's translated as tender mercies. Other times it's translated as loving kindness. Another time it's translated as mercy. Another time it's translated as love. Right? It's all-encompassing. What this is, what it's dealing with, is it's referring to the type of love that God has. The best translation that I think that is all-encompassing is the word "loving kindness," because it uses the word "love" and it uses the word "kindness" together, so that you're not using a whole bunch of different translations and putting them together. Loving kindness is the best thing that I can think of. Now, another translation that would be good is the word "faithful love." Now, what does that mean? That means this: that God's love is faithful to us even in those moments and times in our lives when we are not faithful to God. What does that mean? That means that God still loves you and me when we do bad things. When we do things that displease God, when we do things that we're not supposed to do, when we go on these binges where we think that I got it all figured out, I'll do it myself, and so we don't go to church and we don't read our Bibles and we don't do these things, and we don't do the things that make God happy, God still loves us. Meaning that His love is faithful even when we are not. Meaning that there is nothing that you can say, that there is nothing that you can do, that God will stop loving you. There is nothing in this entire world, praise the Lord, that can separate us from the love of God. And then it goes on to say that his loving kindness, His faithful love, His mercy is everlasting. I actually like the New King James, it says it endures forever. I think of the Energizer Bunny. How many of you remember those commercials, right? The little bunny, and it just keeps going and going and going, right? And he just keeps going and going and going and going, right? Then no matter what happens, you see that little bunny with the drums just going across the stream. And he keeps going, even when everything else just, I'll get it, and he runs out of gas. The little bunny just keeps going and going and going. What does that mean? That means that God's love never gets tired. God's love never runs out of gas. Amen. Have you ever went on a trip somewhere and ran out of gas? Right? I remember one time we were on a trip to Washington for a family reunion, and we were traveling to Fort Townsend, which is up on the coast there, and we were traveling from the middle of the state, and in order to get there by Mount Rainier, we had to travel on the freeway. And before we left, we had two cars with us, and one of the cars misread their gas gauge, I guess, because they thought that it read almost on E. And for some reason, they thought it was on full, so they took off, right? So we're going down the highway. You go down on the highway on E, you don't go very long, right? So we're going down there about 10 minutes, and all of a sudden, the car just stops. So we pull over to the side of the road, and we have to stop and get gas and all that stuff. But God's love doesn't do that. God's love doesn't run out of gas. God's love keeps going and going and going. Nobody, no person, no angelical being, no thing in the world can separate us or make it so God cannot love us. Look, if you will, over at the book of Romans for a moment. Romans chapter 8, the final part of Romans chapter 8. He says in verse 38, he says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You want something to be thankful for this Thanksgiving time? We can be thankful that God loves us even when we don't love Him, and that His love endures forever. His love is everlasting. Meaning that His love will never run out of gas, that He will never stop loving us. There's nothing that you can say or do that God will ever stop loving you. I remember one time, I used to do a lot of youth events and a lot of youth camps. And I remember I spoke at one of them, and I will never forget the number of people that would come to me and say that they wanted to accept Christ as their Savior, but they didn't. And you want to know the reason why? Because they felt that God could not love them after doing a certain thing. And I remember one lady, she had to be in about your age, Nevaeh. And her family had done some awful, awful things to her. Abused her awful bad. And she came up to me after the service and she says, "I want so much to have Christ in my life, but God, Jesus could not possibly love me after what I've done." She says, "I can't tell you the number of times I stood in the shower and I can't get the bad feeling out of me." And I says, "Let me tell you." I said, "I'll tell you someone that can, and that's Jesus Christ. He can take that bad, cruddy feeling that we have on the inside of us, and He can remove it. There is nothing that we can say or do that God will not stop loving you this morning. I want you to know that. So if you need something to be thankful for this morning, thank the Lord that He loves us, even when we don't love Him. A third thing that we can be thankful for is we can be thankful that He is the Creator of the world. Good grief, is it that time already? He's the Creator of the world. Let me go through this quickly. He's the Creator of the world. He created everything. Okay? Romans 8, chapter 1, Romans 8, Psalm 8, 3 and 4 talks about, when I consider your heavens, the work of your hands, what is man that you are mindful of him? And then he talks about in Psalm 19, verse 1, that the heavens declare the glory of God. Simply put, that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. That everywhere we look around, everything that we have is because God made it. God created it. And if we need something to thank God for, we thank God that he's the creator of all things. Number 4, because he is Israel's God. Now this simply means that God protected Israel time and time again. We saw that. He went through and talks about delivering them from Egypt, delivering them from the Red Sea, delivering them time and time again, that God was with them and protected them. And the same way that he's with them, God's with us. Because we look back at our lives and we see that God has protected us and brought us through these particular situations in our lives, that we know that it's not because I did it, it's because God did it. Number 5, because he is our Redeemer. Now notice this. He says, once again, and we drop down to verse 23, he says, who remembers us in our low estate, for his loving kindness is everlasting and has rescued us from our adversaries. What does that mean? Is God remembers us when we needed it. When I think of this, I think of what it says in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 6. It says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That Christ met us where we were, and he brought us up out of that. He is our Redeemer. And then finally, he is God over all. Meaning that he has everything that we can think of. If we surrender our lives to him and we place our trust in his care, then we have nothing to worry about, that God has our lives taken care of. He ends this particular chapter with this phrase, give thanks to the God of heaven for his loving kindness is everlasting. Now these are things that I hope will begin to fill your mind with things to be thankful for. Because here's what Satan wants to do with you this Thanksgiving time. Satan wants to fill your mind with all sorts of things that you have gone through. And he wants to tell you that you have nothing to be thankful for. See all these bad things that happened in your life? You have nothing to be thankful for. And what we have to do is we have to be intentional. We have to say, no, I choose to thank God because he is good. He doesn't treat us as I deserve. I choose to thank God because his loving kindness is everlasting. That he loves me even when I don't love him. I choose to be thankful because he is the creator of all things. I choose to be thankful. Notice this. This is not something that I feel. Because there may be days that I don't feel thankful. But I go back to this list. And I have to remind myself, I choose to be thankful today because God is my Redeemer. I choose to be thankful today because God is Lord of all. So even if you don't feel like giving thanks today, maybe you've gone through tremendous heartache, tremendous trials and tribulations. Let me tell you, God is good. I can be thankful for that. God's loving kindness is everlasting. I can be thankful for that. God is the creator over all things, and He's given it to us to enjoy. I can be thankful for that. Right? He's the Redeemer of Israel. He delivered Israel, and He delivers me from my problems. I can be thankful for that. Amen. He's the Redeemer of my soul from sin. I can be thankful for... Notice this. I may not feel it, but I choose to do it. And notice how it begins to change your perspective, because when you begin, you didn't feel very thankful. But now that you went through this process of getting a piece of paper and a notebook and writing it down, you walk away so much thankful for all the good things God has done for you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. I know that it's a little late, but that's okay, because I want us to take this and live it. So we're going to sing, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. Then we're going to give you another opportunity after you've heard the message. And you could even use one of these that I've mentioned in this message this morning. And we're going to give you an opportunity once again to just say what you're thankful for. So let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And we know that the circumstances and the problems in life can seem to outweigh the good things in life. But Lord, we know that if we are intentional about our worship, if we're intentional about our thanksgiving, and we choose to be thankful, we will find that we have a lot to be thankful for. I pray, Father, that You'd give us during this holiday season a spirit of thanksgiving, that we can sing with the psalmist, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.